I beg your pardon. In 3, 2, 1. Hey, Bessie, it's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse, Nurse John, and welcome back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon. Bessie, how are you doing? I miss you so much. I miss you every single week, and I hope you guys are doing well. Happy Nursing Week to every single one of you. And it shouldn't be a week. It should be every single month we celebrate and we thank every single nurses for the job that they do and provide for all of us. So to all my nurses, my besties, happy Nursing Month. You guys should be proud of yourself for all the things that you do for everyone, for all the strangers you've healed, you've advocated for, you stand for. But the thing though is, I want to know you guys, what kind of Nursing Week gifts you guys receive? Because I have been receiving a lot of pictures that you guys have been sending to me on my Instagram, and it's unbelievable. Somebody received a small toy, and apparently the toy came in with a card, and it says, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you're mad, if you're frustrated at work, just shake this toy and all your madness will be gone. What the fuck is that? That is fucking crazy to me. We don't need that. What we need is a better staffing, safe environment to work at, better pay, and most importantly, respect. That's what we don't get. And we keep getting this pens with the hospital logo on it, pizza party that we get every single week. We don't need any of this. We need you guys to treat us better. This is crazy, you guys. But for all my nurses, again, thank you guys so much for all your contribution, for all the hard work that you guys put in, no matter what specialty you're at. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And a thank you is not enough for every single one of you. And also, happy Mental Health Day. I think it's today, yeah. Which does not really apply to us nurses because our mental health declining, our pay declining, short staffing increasing. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? And I hope some of you guys are getting therapy. That's what Nurse John did. He got some therapy, and your bestie is so much better, and your bestie realized that self-care is self-love. And if you haven't realized that, bestie, get into therapy. It goes well with wine and cheeseburgers. I promise you that. And before we continue, bestie, do me a quick favor. If you're listening right now, make sure that you download this episode. Follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review and make sure that you follow us and turn on notification on Spotify and Apple Podcasts too. And keep sharing this podcast so other people can listen to it and they can get informed on what's going on in the healthcare society. And also, bestie, if you're wondering and if you want some merch from your favorite bestie, Nurse John, you can head on to www.nursejohnnn.com and sign up on the newsletter so you can get a discount code. Actually, right now, I'm wearing one of my new collection that came out 2 weeks ago on Nursing Week. Let me show you guys. Well, you're probably not going to see this if you're just listening to the podcast right now with an audio, but it says caffeinated, medicated, hydrated, our favorite motto in life. It's a black shirt. I love this so much with a new design. You can find this again on www.nursejohnnn.com. And also, I got this new Tumblr where it also says caffeinated, medicated, hydrated. This is just a new motto. I love it so much. So again, if you want one of these, just go to my merch. It's www.nursejohnnn.com. And bestie, if you're also wondering what kind of scrub brand I wear, it's none other than Gardmalade, G-A-R-D-E-M-A-L-A-D-E. And you can use my discount code NurseJohn, G-M-N-U-R-S-E-J-O-H-N-G-M. And they're the only scrub company I trust. I love them so much because they threw a party for me during our retreat here in Montreal, Quebec. So first time ever, they did a retreat here in Canada. And I did not expect that they're going to throw a party for me. We had like a Gatsby-themed party for my birthday. It was a Nurse John speakeasy dinner. And it was super cute. I get to hang out with a bunch of my good friends, Anna, Lindsay, Sydney, Joey, and I met a few new people. They're also fun. We were on a photo shoot. We had so much fun. It was like a retreat of a lifetime with these people, and we get to create more content. And there's a bunch of other stuff we did that we're going to release in a few weeks and months. So just stay tuned in Guard Malad. And maybe a quick update about my situation. In 2 weeks, I'm fully moved to Los Angeles, which I'm super happy and excited about. So to all my California bestie, you'll see me around on Trader Joe's, Walmart, Target, everywhere. I'll be around, and come see me and come take pics with me, speak with me, and we can just sit around and, you know, be with each other type of thing. Okay, well, bestie, for this week's episode, we are going to talk about why did you become a nurse and why are you still a nurse even with the conditions and the environment that we're put in right now at this time in this healthcare system. And a lot of you guys have submitted your stories, which are all so heartwarming and heartfelt. I love it so much. Well, let me start off with my story. And I think you guys have heard this. And if you're new here and you've never heard of my story of why I became a nurse, let me tell you then. So I became a nurse during the time when my grandpa was suffering from a stage 4 lung cancer and Alzheimer's. It was really tough for us. We did not know that he has a stage 4 lung cancer. But whenever I see him get out from the bathroom, I would see him like flush the toilet kind of thing. And I would see like blood, like spit on it. And I just knew something is wrong, but I never really had the idea of what's going on. And also the fact that my grandpa is never the type to complain, and he doesn't want to complain or tell anyone what's going on if there's something wrong, because he just doesn't want to bother anyone. And that's just a typical Filipino grandparents or parents. And then so I think it got worse to the point that it was the end stage of cancer and also Alzheimer's for him. And it was so hard for my whole family to take care of him because none of us is aware or have the knowledge to, you know, give him the proper care that he needs. He went to chemotherapy. He had a lot of like medication and treatments. But again, whenever he's at home, we don't know how to take care of him. And he would just inflate like edema. And then after he would deflate and we will just look like a skin and bones and stuff like that. It was hard for me to see that growing up. And again, I see him suffer every single time. And when the doctor told us that, hey, actually, your grandpa only has 6 months to live, I questioned myself and I was like, wait a second, what do you mean that my grandpa has 6 months to live? We should be doing something about this. And they're like, there's nothing for us to do. You should just enjoy your days, your last days with him. I was so angry, frustrated that time because I was like, listen, you're a doctor. You should know what to do and you should have told us something that we could do to elongate his life, but he did not. And for me, again, for someone who doesn't have any knowledge about healthcare that time, I was so frustrated and mad at that doctor that he did not give us any solutions but just enjoy every single minute with him. But the thing is, he actually lived more than 6 months of what he gave him as like a deadline of his life, and he lived for 2 more years. So that time I was like, listen, I'm not going to believe any other doctors anymore because miracles could happen. My whole family worked together. We worked so hard to give him the best possible care, even though we have no knowledge about it. And he lived for such a long time. And he died 2011, 3 days after my birthday. But on the day of my birthday, which is May 8th, he was really suffering. He cannot get out of bed. He's not talking. He was literally like a dead vegetable, basically. But he woke up that morning to greet me and tell me to go to church and pray, not for him, but for me to have a longer life and more birthdays to come. And then after that, he died. And from that day on, I told myself that I wanted to do something where I can take care of someone's family member who's struggling or who's suffering so that they don't have to go through what I've went through with my grandpa. And the only profession that sticks in my head was nursing. And then so I went to nursing school. And then here we are, 4.5 years later, nurse and burnout. I'm kidding. The burnout part came because of the pandemic and all the shit that's happening in healthcare right now. It was such a hard time. But again, I would not replace, and I do not regret becoming a nurse, because this is something I'm really passionate about, and this is something that I am super proud of. Like, being able to help someone's family member who's suffering or making a change on someone's life positively makes me happy. And even though sometimes, you know, it takes a toll in my mental health, my emotional health, my physical health, getting home after a long shift, knowing that I took care of someone or I made someone feel better, happy, validated, you know, advocated for them, makes me feel so good inside of me that I did that for someone. And those kind of things are irreplaceable. Like, you cannot compare that to monetary things or any other things, because that's literally is coming from your heart. It's coming from your passion and your care and your love for helping others. So yeah, that's my story. For anyone who doesn't know it, if you guys want to listen to the whole shebang where I'm literally super emotional, listen to the first episode of this podcast, which is all the way back in 2023, I think in July. But yes, that's my story. And now let's get into the stories that you guys have submitted. A lot of this are stories from different parts of the world, which is I'm super happy about, because there are thousands and millions of nurses from different parts of the world, and we are all having the same experience, the same struggles, and it's just so nice to see that, you know, it's not just us people from the West who's experiencing this, but all of us collectively around the world. And we can say that we have a community of strong people who deserve so much better. All right, Bessie, are you ready? Get your caffeine ready, hydrate a bit, take those medications, and let's get into this. And tissue paper, because you might cry. First story, why I became a nurse. My dad always wanted me to be a nurse and told me for years I would be amazing at it. Of course, since he said that, I decided I was never going to pursue nursing. Perfect. Fast forward to the end of high school, and the school I wanted to go to didn't have physical therapy program. So I decided, screw it, I'll just do nursing for a year till I figure out what I want to do. Well, so one thing about this before I continue is that, just to let you guys know, is that nursing is not for the weak, and it's not something that you just take like social science where you're like, you know what, let me just take up nursing because I don't know what to do yet in my life. Maybe this worked out for other people, but I just want to tell you, for anyone who wants to pursue nursing or was thinking of pursuing nursing, not knowing 100% that they want to become a nurse, don't do it. It's hell in nursing school. I'm telling you right now, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. You have to be passionate about it to be able to do it and even make it. Continuing, well, God had other plans for my family and I, because that year my dad passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. I decided to finish the dream he had for me and get my BSN and RN and make my late dad proud. I never thought I would fall in love with nursing, but after a couple of years in MedSurg, I found my passion and calling in labor and delivery. Girl, that's when you know you had to start in MedSurg and you're like, you know what? Fuck this. Let me go somewhere better. And you found labor and delivery. Now I get to help bring new life into the world, train new nurses, and do charge. I guess my dad knew me better than anyone else, and I know he would be proud of the woman and nurse I have become in the decade he has been gone, and I have been a nurse. Well, first of all, congratulations, and I am so happy for you that you actually find a passion in nursing. So one thing about here is, a lot of people are questioning themselves, should I become a nurse? Is this something I wanted to do? But then there's stories like yours that comes in where you never really wanted to become a nurse, but then, you know, circumstances and situation happens that brought you into nursing, and then you realize after that, well, nursing is actually something I love and passionate about. This again works out rarely to a lot of people, but again, for someone who wants to pursue nursing, I really, 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 really want you guys to think 100 times before you go to nursing school, because being a nurse is not something you just think about once in your life and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna be a nurse and that's it. Because when you get there, when you get out there and actually becomes a nurse, you would realize how taxing this profession is, how serious being a nurse is. It's not just giving medication, it's not just changing dressing, it's not just giving patients tray, which what CNAs does right now at this moment, because that's another profession. But what I'm trying to say is that you really need to think through before you go into nursing, just because just in nursing school itself, it's one of the hardest program to be at. You spend so much hours, so much energy, so much time to dedicate into this program to make it. And just this program itself, it's so competitive that if you don't get, let's say, a 90% on your pharmacology, you basically failed. You would literally question yourself, am I stupid? Am I really made for this? And there's a lot more things entailed into just nursing school. But imagine when you actually get your license and you start working in the field. There is so many things you will discover that is not in the books. And you will be shocked. You will get traumatized. And again, if you don't have the heart for it, the passion for it, you can never survive. And what's going to happen is you're going to develop PTSD, trauma, and you're going to hate yourself. So please, for anyone who wants to pursue nursing, think about it. Are you the type of person who loves to care for others? Are you the type of person who wants to be there when someone is suffering? Are you emotionally strong, physically able, you know, spiritually available to be there for someone in their suffering days? Because the best days are the good ones. And are you ready to take on jobs that is not within your description but is put to you, which unfortunately should not be the situation or the case, but that is the case right now in healthcare. Can you develop a strong boundaries for yourself, for your patient, with your colleagues, for family members? Because if you don't have all of these things, there's a lot of things you need to consider. You will regret it and you will hate it. Just for example, in my case, I love nursing. This is what I'm passionate about. That's why I still continue working as a nurse. But now that I developed my boundaries after being burnt out, I am more equipped and I can say that I am more ready to take on whatever is thrown at me. But when I started nursing, it was so much harder because I had imposter syndrome. If I'm really made for this, I doubted and questioned myself. Did I just pass my theory exams, my license exams because I am book smart, or am I really good at what I'm doing? And then I get to see more traumatic things and experiences in nursing and I'm just like, oof, wait a second, can I really do this? So again, think many times before you get into nursing. But I'm happy for this kind of situation where you did not know that you actually love nursing until you get into it and you realize that you actually have a passion to it. And again, sometimes the passion, the love for it develops as you get experience, as you get your hands dirty. But that's a rare case situation, mostly in nursing too. But congratulations to you. I'm so happy that you're there for moms, babies, supporting all these labor and delivery patients, and I salute you and happy nursing week, babes. Next, I became a nurse because I'm a Filipino. Perfect. But wait, not because I wanted to be of service and help others, cliche, but because I'm a Filipino. This is too funny. My two aunt, grandmother, and cousin were all nurses. I have an uncle, an auntie who's a PT and an OT, an uncle who is a doctor in the Philippines, and a nurse here in the US. So basically, life was laid out for me that I will be a nurse. My grandmother offered to pay for my college tuition if I take up nursing. This is gaslighting, baby. Who am I to say no? Well, I should have said no when I had a chance, period. Don't get me wrong, I did not take that for granted. I am beyond grateful for the help. But of course, utang na loob, it's a Tagalog word, but basically means that you owe someone something. Comes into the frame now. Question is for how long? How long should I be in debt for the help that was offered? Not even insisted. I took on the route, passed the NLE, went to Middle East, saved up some money, passed NCLEX, went to the US, got my PR during COVID, grateful and thankful, yes. So to my bestie, first of all, I hope you're happy that you're a nurse. Because again, it looks like in this very situation, the only reason why you took nursing is because your grandmother offered to pay for your tuition fee just for you to become a nurse. Again, for a lot of people who's listening right now, don't take this route. Again, some situation and circumstances, it works out. But a lot of time too, it does not. So let's talk about Filipino first. There's a lot of people that's listening right now who are probably questioning and asking themselves like, oh my God, why is there so many Filipino nurses? To answer this question, I did not become a nurse in the Philippines. I became a nurse here in Canada. I took up nursing here in Canada because I left the Philippines. I immigrated in Canada after high school, after graduating high school. So just in time for me to get into, you know, like the university. The thing in the Philippines is our parents and our grandparents and everyone expects you to get a job where you are not going to depend to nobody, where you're going to be settled in life, and it's going to reassure you that you will always have a job. One thing you guys have to remember is the Philippines is a third world country, meaning that when you're living in a third world country, you should be aiming high so that you don't have to go through what your parents or grandparents went through. So your grandparents and parents would aim to push you to do something like engineering, doctor, nursing, because they think also that nursing pays a lot of money. Well, it does, because I think a lot of parents' goal is for you to go abroad, like go out from the Philippines and go to the Middle East or the United States, Canada, somewhere else where you can get paid better so that you can feed and you can put food in the table for your family in the Philippines, which is what a lot of Filipino are doing. They're taking up nursing, getting some experience in the hospital in the Philippines, and then when they have the money, enough experience, they would apply to go to another country like Australia, the United States, United Kingdom, anywhere in the world. That is why a lot of nurses are everywhere, and you will find them in every single hospital around the world. Because we work so hard so that we can pay our bills, we can put food on a table for our family back home in the Philippines. But nursing is not the only job that exists in the Philippines. It just so happened that a lot of us are aiming to do better and best for our family, because we don't want to stay poor. We don't want to keep living the poor and the poverty life, because it's so hard to live in the Philippines. I lived that for 17 years of my life, and it's hard. Having rice and coffee as your lunch or dinner, and there's no meat, there's no veggies, there's no nothing, because you don't have the money for it, it's hard. Or sometimes you only eat once a day. That's the only thing you can provide for your whole family of like 10 or 20. And again, we're like Latinos or Hispanic people. Our family is big. We all live in a compound. We're next to each other. So when one is suffering, another person from the family is going to help that family so we can all be equal. There's a lot more details to explain this whole situation, but basically, that's the reason why a lot of us Filipino people are going into nursing school and are nurses from different parts of the world. And a lot of us too are being forced to go into nursing, even though it is not something we want. There's always a running joke, inside joke in the Filipino community where, let's say, a nurse loves to sing and they actually have such an amazing voice, which a lot of Filipino too has amazing talent, not just in nursing, but dancing, arts, acting, singing, everything and anything. And you see them, they can sing, and you wonder like, oh my God, you should have been a singer. And they respond like, I actually wanted to be a singer more than a nurse. But I was forced to become a nurse because my parents said that this would pay my bills. This would feed my family in the future. And that's what happens. But the thing, though, is it's also very different, because for the nurses in the Philippines who were forced to become a nurse, they are still good nurses. They are still able and capable of taking care of others, even though they were forced to be one in the very beginning. And why is that? It's because of the values and the culture that we were raised upon to in the Philippines. In the Philippines, we were taught to be humble. We are taught to always care for others and make sure that you consider others. And there's a lot more values and beliefs that we were raised upon to, and that's what made us who we are. You probably have worked with other Filipino people who's not a nurse, and they still feed you, they still care for you, they still treat you like a family, because that's just how we are. And I think a big role in the nursing week should be put on to Filipino nurses, because there's so many, and we all have worked with one. And I'm not being biased. I'm just saying that there's so many Filipino nurses around the world, and I think they make up the biggest part of the nursing community. So to all my Filipino people, salamat po, and I love you guys so much. And I hope that, you know, we all have started breaking that stigma of you gotta be a nurse so that you can feed your family and stuff like that. Because the reality is that nursing really doesn't pay good. People from like third world country thinks like, oh my God, so your uncle or your auntie or your sister is a nurse in the United States, they should be making a lot of money. You guys have to consider the fact that living in the United States, living in the West, living in abroad doesn't make you rich. It makes you able to make money so that you can send money to the Philippines or to wherever you live, to your family, but also enough just for you to survive where you are. Nursing will not make you a millionaire. It's not a millionaire making profession like a doctor. It's really not. Nursing is a passion profession. You have to love it. You have to want it. You have to dedicate a lot of time, energy, and compassion to it for you to survive it. Most of these nurses are suffering with the condition, with the short staffing. And some of them cannot quit the job because they still gotta put a food in the table. They need to feed their kids, their family. And it's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But again, to all my Filipino people, I salute you guys. Salamat po again. Salamat po means just thank you. But I hope you are happy that you became a nurse, even though this was forced to you to become one. And I know how difficult it could be because I have the same mentality with my parent, with my whole family. But again, I did not become a nurse because I was forced to become one. I became a nurse because I had a purpose. I had a goal, and that is to help others, and so that I feel like I'm still taking care of my grandpa in the form of other people's family during the time they are suffering. But to you, I still salute you. I hope you're happy, and if you're not, go change your career. Do something that you want and is actually happy and grateful about. Next, why I became a nurse is quite simple. I was looking after others even from a young age. If not my brother who has autism, then it was my grandmother when she was ill, or my mom whenever she got sick or had a migraine. It's something I believe is already in your core or soul, period, or whatever you call it. It's my normal. It's something I truly feel like I was made to do. It's awesome that I get to make this my career, and it sometimes even motivates me to see how bad the circumstances are, just because I know I have something to add to the nursing world, and I get the chance to maybe change even a little thing. I'd love to be a nursing instructor one day, just like you. Well, thank you so much. And that is a beautiful story. And again, I think a lot of us who became a nurse is because we've experienced it from a young age or from a certain phase in our life where we had to take care like a family member or have seen such a devastating situation in our family that we're like, oh my God, I had to be that person to take care of my family. I had to be that person in charge even in a young age or even an innocent like years. And then it became a thing for you that now you're like, you know what? Let me just keep doing it. But I don't think kids or teenagers should be responsible of taking care of their parents on those young years. And this, again, is just my opinion, because on those years, those kids should be enjoying their life. They should be exploring, being curious, and doing things that is dedicated on that specific age. Like a 10-year-old should not be taking care of their siblings, or they should not be taking care of their parents, let's say, just because their parents are alcoholics, so now they became the breadwinner of the family. They had to be the one to raise their whole family because their parents are incapable of doing it. Like, they should not be experiencing that kind of thing. And it sucks, but it's a reality for a lot of people. But then I guess it teaches you something in life that, hey, maybe this is a career that I can do for myself since I've been doing it. But again, it's just a reality for some people. And I hope it's not, but that's the case. That's literally is the case. Next story, and I initially wanted to be a nurse just because my mom is a frustrated nurse. And when my parents went to the US, she told me, you need to be a nurse because nurses earn good money abroad. Baby girl. See, this is what I'm saying, you guys. Our parents from the Philippines think that we make so much money. Yes, the conversion rate of US to peso is a lot more. But when your loved ones work in the United States, they have to pay water, electricity, housing, all of that, and even food. And the inflation rate here in the West is crazy. So we don't make that much money. Yes, we save money because probably we try not to eat out. We try not to spend things on ourselves. But listen, your family who's working in abroad is not making banks as a nurse. Depending on where they are on a stay, if they're in California, sure. But listen, if your family member is working on another state, they're not making banks, baby. They are just trying to survive every single day. And yes, they are bringing money to you, sending money back home. But that doesn't mean that they're making that much money. Yes, it converts high in peso because you don't earn that much as a nurse in the Philippines. But that doesn't mean that they are rich. Period. Continuing, plus factor was because my classmate back in high school wanted to be a nurse, and for you to be in nursing school, you are in. Because nursing course was back then was really booming. On my third year of nursing, I almost wanted to give up, especially during the return demonstration of doing intramuscular and intradermal injections. Lol. Every year, I keep telling myself I need to quit nursing school and just be an architect because I like to draw. See, this is what I'm saying. Some nurses actually do have a passion for something else, but you know, our parents and some other environmental cause and factor made us go into nursing. But little did I know, it has been 14 years that I'm working as a registered nurse from Philippines to Vancouver, Canada, to now moving here in LA 3 years ago. Period, kababayan. Okay, you eat that up. Yeah. Plus bonus, I'm working at a celebrity hospital in LA. Okay, spill the tea, baby. Where I dreamt of working. Never in my wildest dream to be working here. Well, first of all, congratulations. You made it. And I also want you guys to understand that a lot of us Filipino people really do travel wherever we are, no matter if we're a nurse, architect, engineer, caregivers, nanny, whatever that is. We will do anything just for us to survive and feed and give our family the good life they deserve. That's why you see a lot of Filipinos, they will take overtime, they will work super hard to get to the position that they want to be because we all grew up poor. And I'm not super biased here. This episode is not all about being Filipino, but it's just in healthcare, there's so much Filipino. There's so much nurses, and a lot of us have worked with one. So one of my good friends, Lindsay Scrabhack, posted this like skit. It says, walking into the best nurse competition just to see a 4'11 Filipina. It's a lighthearted, fun, and basically it's just saying and honoring like, oh my God, Filipino people and Filipino nurses are one of the best co-workers. And a woman just put a goddamn comment in that video saying, I am not sure what this means without any context. We have she emphasizes so many problems with immigrant nurses from the Philippines. They are warm, lovely people, but the mistake happening due to language and cultural are harming us. Okay, bitch. Example, a Filipino nurse or receptionist can't understand the message I've asked to pass along to the doctor, or she can't understand the message that the doctor has asked to pass along to patient, but she's too embarrassed to ask for clarification, or she'll give her version, which is completely wrong. This might not cost someone's life in a different profession, but this is healthcare we're talking about. First of all, I just wanted to say that I don't know if you realize, but what you just commented is very racist, okay? Starting with immigrant Filipino nurses from the Philippines. Just FYI, not all of us are coming from the Philippines as nurses. Some of us actually did our study in the United States or in Canada or wherever they are. Secondly, listen, I do get what she's saying about like the language barrier because we cannot really speak like American English. Well, that is because we speak more than one language, okay? We speak Tagalog. We speak another language where we started working as a nurse first because a lot of us nurses, before we can enter the United States or Canada or the United Kingdom, we have to work somewhere else first. Some of us work as a nurse in Taiwan, Singapore, in the Middle East, and then that's when we can apply to work in the United States or in Canada. So most likely, that nurse that you were working with, girl, knows how to speak Arabic, knows how to speak Mandarin, knows how to speak any other languages. And the reason why we have an accent is because we can speak more than one language. But criticizing our accent or criticizing how we speak in English and just because you don't have a good listening ear doesn't make us bad people, bad nurses, okay? And when you say harming us culturally, what the fuck in our culture is harming you to be able to work? I don't know if you're a nurse. I don't know what you do in life, but it seems like you work in healthcare. But what the fuck in our culture is harming you? What are we harming you? I'm really sorry, and I'm not generalizing this. I'm just talking to this one girl. We're harming you culturally? We're so accepting, we're so adaptable of other cultures that we try to do our best so that we fit in, so that you guys can consider us as part of the whole community. And let me tell you something too. The reason why a lot of hospital and the healthcare system in the West, in the North America, is working well and is still up and running is because y'all are taking those nurses from the Philippines. And a lot of those Filipinos are nurses, and we are running this fucking healthcare system. So before you run your mouth with your little harming us language, and start with your own fucking self, okay? Because if you want to remove every single Filipino nurse into the healthcare system, let me tell you, bitch, every single hospital is going to be closed. Closed. That's right. And I'm just super mad because some people are just so unappreciative, racist motherfuckers. And next, let's debunk her example of passing a message and that Filipino nurse gives her own version of that message. Let me tell you something. When I receive a report from another nurse, no matter what ethnicity that is, I have my own version and interpretation of that because that is my own view and point of view of it. When I receive orders, I clarify it because I don't believe for just one time reading something that's how it should be. We all have our own interpretation and version of something, but as long as it's not missed on the translation, like, oh, get this patient a 975 milligram of acetaminophen, and that nurse translated it to, oh, we'll give you half a tab. That's a completely different thing. But if the nurse is trying to explain something in a different version, maybe, just maybe, they're trying to make it less scary, less difficult, less stressful for the patient, for the family, or for the colleagues. I do that too. I receive a message that is so heartbreaking. How am I supposed to bring this message, to relay this message to the person that I was asked to relay this message to without sounding like how it was brought to me? Because it was scary. You know what I mean? And you know what? I'm super proud right now. Like, you're probably hearing my accent, my faults in speaking in English, but I'm super fucking happy. See? I'm super fucking happy that I have accent, that I am not a fluent English speaker, because let me tell you something. I can speak four fucking language. Can you? That's what I thought, bitch. Ugh, it just icks me so much when people just doesn't realize how racist they are. And I have had patients who are like that. And for all the immigrants who are now building the healthcare system here in North America, thank you so much. You are one of the reason why this healthcare system is still running. You are one of the reason why this healthcare system can cure, can help, can heal those who are in need in this motherfucking country and continent. Thank you. Moving on. Hi, John. I first became a nurse because I wanted to work in healthcare, and I so desperately need to feel that I was doing the difference for someone. At first, I really enjoyed this and put a lot of effort in my work, but as time go by, I became more and more burned out. I had a severe episode in 2016 for which I had to take time off, go to therapy, and be on meds. But somehow, I never recovered. Healthcare and patients are so problematic, and I feel drained. Like, this job turned me into the worst version of a human being. I'm a nurse in Italy, and here is not easy, and I mean it, to change workplace or change job at all, so I'm stuck with it for the rest of my life, and I hate that. I am an ER and ICU nurse. I feel very sad for myself and for the poor care I can provide, but all the willing to fight is gone. The system is crashing us and make us work in a horrific condition. Oh my God, girl. I am so sorry that you're going through this, and this is a message for every single one of us that it's not just us here in North America who's suffering. There are other countries out there who have nurses who are suffering more than us. And it's not to say like, oh my God, then, you know, don't be burnt out. Don't feel the way you're feeling right now. It's not that. It's that we have other nursing colleagues from other countries who are also suffering and in a much worse case scenario compared to us. And I feel bad because I was in Italy too, and when I was there and I met up with a bunch of other nurses, they are literally telling me how hard it is to be able to work every single day because they are not paid well. The conditions are crazy. They get like unbelievable amount of patients to handle by just themselves, and they cannot leave that situation. And it's just so harsh. And I cannot imagine other nurses from other countries too. But again, this is a collective problem that we nurses are going through. And it sucks, but I think as long as we push, as long as we try to retaliate and ask for what we actually deserve, equal pay, safe environment, safe ratio, we can get to somewhere someday, hopefully, because we've been fighting since 19, I don't even know. So please keep fighting, you guys. Don't give up. And I know, again, this is such a heartless job, a thankless job, but we have to keep fighting for something that we are passionate about. And if it's really draining you, you have to quit the job and try to find another job. And again, it's so much easier to say it when you're not in that position, but I'm just saying that you don't want to be in a position where you're losing your own self because you're just forcing yourself to be in a job that you're not happy. So please, take care of yourself, guys. Put those boundaries. Learn self-care, because when you know self-care, then you can learn self-love. Next, when I was entering my senior year of high school, my grandpa and my grandma became very sick. My grandpa was battling pneumonia and overall frailty for his age. As time went by, we thought he was going to get better. And being busy with our lives, many of us couldn't visit. Unfortunately, his illness progressed and he ended up on comfort care. My dad's side has 10 siblings, and my uncle has yet to fly in to see his dad. My grandpa was on nasal prongs and you can hear him wheezing. As soon as my uncle arrived, my grandpa took his last breath knowing he was the last sibling to arrive. This is where I realized we can take things for granted. 3 months later, my grandma passed away from a brain tumor. From what I believe, they wanted to be together and their love for each other is so strong. From this experience alone and through grieving, nurses played such a big role for my family. They made sure my grandparents were not in distress and made their last few moments something memorable. So this is another type of why you became a nurse, where you've seen other healthcare workers or you've seen a nurse from like experience and made you want to become one of them, because you see how much they work so hard and how much heart and passion they put into the job that they're doing. And me too, like growing up, I have seen so many nurses and doctors and whatnot. But what really, really made me amazed is the nurses, because they're always there with you 24/7 compared to the doctor. And I completely understand it. And it's not shitting on doctor not being there 24/7 with the patients. But again, that's what differs a doctor and a nurse. The doctor is the one who fixes you up, who does the orders and stuff like that. And it's the nurse who heals you, who does all the orders. And that's, again, the difference between a doctor and a nurse. And there's more differences. That's just the basic of it. And for me, I have always been questioned, like, why don't you want to become a doctor, John? Because I don't feel like a doctor. I feel like a nurse. I feel like being with someone bedside, taking care of them, getting to know them, you know, healing them, advocating for them. That's who I am as a person. Again, being a nurse is something that you feel inside you. It's in your core values. That is what being a nurse is. And if you're the type to want to fix something, if you are very sciencey kind of person and you like, you know, surgical things, then maybe you are made to be a doctor. That's your defining thing if you're deciding where you want to go in life. And again, this is such an inspirational thing, because this is what I always put in my head too whenever I give care to my patient, is that I will give the best that I could whenever I go to each of my patients' room, because maybe I can inspire a family member or that patient to be a nurse one day because they see how much I work hard, how much heart and passion I put into this job. And I have seen so many of those videos where someone was chronically sick and they were taken care of by the best nurses ever. So they decided when they got better that they are going to nursing school and become one of the nurses, because they were just so inspired of those people who taken care of him or her, right? It's basically a beautiful story. Next, I became a nurse because when I was 8 years old, my grandpa had 2 strokes, and when the doctor tried to figure out the cause, they just threw their hands up in the air and couldn't figure it out. This is kind of like my story. One day, my dad mentioned to the doctor that he was complaining of stomach pain often and his appetite was just not there most days. With that, they did an endoscopy and saw that he had stage 4 stomach cancer. Ooh, somebody's relating way too close to this. Surrounding the entire lining of his stomach, they rushed him into emergency surgery and he ended up passing on the operating table. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No one in my family was in the medical field, but as a nurse or doctor, when we hear stuff like severe chronic stomach pain, weight loss, no appetite, etc., we think red flags. My grandfather was a typical Asian man who was all about family and super caring. He was old-fashioned in the sense where the man would suck it up even when he is in pain and never went to the doctor. When he was in pain, he would act like he is fine and never wanted to seek help. I never want anyone else to go through what my family and I went through with any of their loved ones. My papa was our light and the pillar of my family. To lose him so fast is unexpectedly hurting me. So I became a nurse, not a doctor, a registered nurse, because nurses are the ones who most times who build a connection with the patient and detect when things are wrong or not the same first. See, that's what I'm trying to say. That is the difference between a doctor and a nurse. We are very specific. We are observant. We assess. We observe. And that's what we do as nurses. If you're that kind of person, then you're made to be a nurse. Because a lot of times we catch a lot of things, a lot of mistakes that could happen in healthcare, which is okay because we are all humans. But nurses most of the time catch those things and try to correct it or prevent it from happening. Congratulations to you. Happy Nursing Week. I'm so happy that you're a nurse. And I just know your papa, your grandpa is so proud of you and he's looking up above and he's probably screaming, "That's my granddaughter." And we almost have the same story of my grandpa, and I hope he's so proud of me of who I become and what I become as a nurse and all of these other things that just, you know, came to my life. But we basically have the same story. I just want to make a difference on somebody else's life so that they don't have to go through what I've been through when my grandpa was sick. Congratulations, girl. Next, I was studying to become a vet nurse, which I am, and had a choice to continue studying to become a vet doc, but I choose to become a nurse. At first, I did not know which specialty I would end up to, so I went to anesthesiology and resuscitation unit, and I would never change my mind, and I am happy with it. Even the management is rough and not easy to deal with. I have a bunch of amazing colleagues, and also patients are mostly sedated, so when I have the type of day that I don't want to talk to anyone, you know, maybe it's a little bit evil, but I run out of the enthusiasm to talk to other people all day long. Your bestie from Czech Republic. Look at that. So many submissions from other countries. Well, congratulations, girl, that you found your calling with the human and not with the pets. But honestly, you guys, there's not much difference between vet techs and nurses because the only difference is it's human and it's animals. I had Nadia in our podcast before who was a vet tech, and she was literally describing that they also have Mr. Smiths in the vet world. So I am so happy that you found your passion here in nursing. And again, I don't know the situation in Czech Republic of the nursing world of the healthcare system. It's probably fucking shit too, but just keep going. Always remember why you did this at the first place and keep inspiring, keep healing, keep advocating for your patient and for yourself. Always, always, and remember your boundaries. And lastly, I wanted to be a nurse a long, long time ago when I was going to our small hospital in my hometown of Lautoka to stay with my auntie. She had a major surgery due to a car accident. Her car got run over by a freight truck. I beg your pardon. Oh my God. Yup, it is a true story. It was nighttime and the lights for train was not on, so it just took out my auntie's car. Anyways, while I was staying in the hospital with her, I started helping all the other patients in the ward with little things. Okay, Miss Nurse. It basically gave me a purpose. Now, I am a geriatric nurse working in aged care, looking after many Mr. Smiths. Bless them all. I have been spat on, kicked, scratched, bit and slapped, sworn at. Oh my God, girl. Okay, well, this is not good. We need boundaries, girl. Remember, You name it, not even a small thank you or something. Though the Mansion residence makes it all worth it. When I'm able to help an elderly person, I feel like I have looked after my grandparents whom I never got a chance to look after. I have worked double shifts, short staff, doing numerous COVID outbreaks at my facility, and I will gladly do it again. Going home after a hectic day seems so worth it when I know I did something good for someone so vulnerable. I'm the voice that this elderly, dementia, cognitively impaired individuals need. They are always the one who are looked over, ignored when in hospital because they are old and not a priority. About time we made them the priority because they help build the world. My karma is my work. I'm sure that this is what I was meant to do. Salute to all geriatric mental health nurses. They are always ignored because apparently it's an easy job. Well, let me tell you something. Thank you so much for all the geriatric mental health care nurses. The job that you do, guys, is amazing, and not everyone can do it. It's not for the thin skin. You need a thick skin to be able to work in geriatrics. But it is true, though, that it's hard working in geriatric floors. These people need a lot of care physically, mentally, emotionally, and it will take a toll on you. But being able to work in geriatric or mental health nurse is a power. It's a skill. It's a skill set that not every single nurse has. That's why I salute every single one of you. And thank you for choosing geriatrics, and thank you for seeing them as a priority and giving them the light and the attention they need. Because again, abuse in the geriatric population happens a lot. It's so unseen because a lot of this geriatric patient cannot talk for themselves. They cannot advocate for themselves. And it's only nurses or healthcare workers when the hospitals can advocate and check and assess if those geriatric patients were abused in their homes, in their facilities, in the aged care, because there's so many abused geriatric patients. And it saddens me because sometimes it's the family member. And a lot of times the reason why this happens is because of burnout, like caregiver burnout. And it happens in a lot of time. One thing you guys have to realize, and one thing I've learned because I came in from an Asian culture, mostly Filipino culture, is that growing up, it was so instilled to us that it is our obligation to take care of our grandparents, of our parents, and that we owe that to them. Just know that it is not your responsibility. It is not something that you're obliged to do, but it is something you have to do if it comes from your heart, if it comes from a willingness to do it. I want you guys to realize that, period. And again, thank you so much for all the geriatric nurses. And again, bestie, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys learned a lot. And I know there's so many other stories out there of how you became a nurse and why you're still working as a nurse. All I wanted to say is that I salute every healthcare worker. But for my people, for my nurses, we deserve so much better, you guys. And I thank every single one of you for working as a nurse, for contributing to our society, for healing people, for advocating for people. You know, thank you is not enough. I think we all deserve a vacation somewhere hot and tropical. And I wish I could give that to all of you. I wish I could provide that to all of you instead of like cookies and pizza parties and stuff like that, because you guys all deserve that. But you know what? I am trying to make a difference for all my nursing besties. Actually, just this coming June 7th, I am going to Huntsville, Alabama, because I will be playing my first ever time. And actually, you guys, I am preparing, I am planning something big for all my nursing communities, and not just nurses, healthcare worker, and for all the people who have been supporting me. But one thing that is coming up soon is this June 7th, I will be going to Huntsville, Alabama to play in a comedy bar. First time ever. Just me, baby. So if you're from Huntsville, Alabama, go get some tickets, come see me, and I will make you all laugh, and I will do the best that I could to give you guys a night of a lifetime where you all can just relate, laugh, and we can all just, you know, scream our pains away by laughing with all the shit that we're going through in healthcare. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode. Make sure that you download this episode, follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, please, 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 please. I would really appreciate it. and make sure that you share this episode to all your friends. And make sure, don't forget to check out my merch at www.nursejohnnn.com and sign up on the newsletter so you can get a discount code. I love you all, Bessie, so, 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 so much. And I will see you guys for another episode of your favorite podcast with your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse, Nurse John, in your favorite therapy podcast. I beg your pardon. I love you, Bessie. I will see you again next week. Love you.